Hey, everybody. It's Monday. And that means we're talking about ghosts and shit.
Yeah. Another haunt. We're going to talk about haunting in Florida again.
Yeah. I looked up when we talked about that before. It was way back long on time. Episode 44. So it was like more than 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. And this was a good episode. And like I said, you know, Tom knows the guy.
I know Ed, yeah.
So.
He's on my friends list.
Right.
I met him. Just met him by chance. I was down in, went to the Ace Hardware store in Sanford. He's not working there now, but at that time he was working there.
Yeah, that was a few years ago.
Yeah. Went down there to go get some machine grade bolts for working on a Buell. And a guy's going through the machine bolts with me, and he's, you know, talking about, you know, what grade I needed and this and that. You know, I'm telling him he's looking for it. And he just... voice sounded real familiar, and I looked at his name plate and it said Ed, and I looked at his face, and the man, it was Ed Dunham from fucking Haunting. I said, man, you're Ed Dunham from the Haunting. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, man, it's nice to meet you. He goes, you're ex-ranger. And he's like, yeah. And you know, I told him, so I'm ex-101st. It's from a recon platoon there. It was up in the 506 in Korea too, when it was back when the 506 was attached to the second ID. It's back at the 101st now. But anyway, he's like, oh, yeah. And I says, I saw some paranormal shit, too. He goes, you did? And I told him just briefly about Poltergeist up at Mammoth Mountain that Jenny wrote the book about when I told her the story. He's like, yeah, man, fucking, it was weird, man. Basically, he told me the same thing I say to y'all. That was a bad house. That's what he said. Yeah. And I got his contact on Facebook. That's back when Facebook was popular. Now that's old people. But so I ended up contacting him later and finding more about the case. And I was talking to him on the phone.
Yeah.
And I talked to him for several hours. And then ran into him a couple other times after that. Ran into him in traffic. I was riding a bike and he was driving his fucking truck. And I go, what's up, Ed? He's like, hey, Tommy. You know, fucking shit like that, you know. I was talking to him. He said he could get on HRT and shit. So we talked mostly online.
But, yeah, he kind of lived in the same area as us. Like, he lived in Sanford or around that area. Yeah.
And then he's not with the wife that's in this episode anymore. They broke up.
Yeah.
But his kids are all grown now. And he ended up becoming a justice of the peace. And he'd marry you, all right? And I guess his stick was he'd dress up in a damn Ranger outfit, a U.S. Army Ranger outfit, or he'd dress up in a kilt. And marry you, and then probably yell at you, too. He was yelling.
If you're into that,
yeah, yelling.
Because some people like that, I guess. Like, yeah, just yell
get
you, at
get, yeah, get a Ranger marriage.
Mr. 88 said, "How can I get your mailing address? Just send me a message on Facebook or Instagram. I mean, Facebook probably is the quickest way, but or Instagram works too. And I'll give it to you because I don't really like to just give it out on
live."
Live, yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know why, because I trust you fuckers, but, like, not to show up on the doorstep or anything, but...
Well, it's better if you're dealing with a person one-on-one. You know who it is you're giving the number
to. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, so this is a case where I have some insight in, because I talked to Ed personally. I know him. All right. He said he didn't want to be on a show anymore. I asked him years ago when we first... talked about his case, asked him if he wanted to come on as a guest. He says, nah, I don't even want to talk about that anymore. But he said.
So, I mean, it was a long time ago. Yeah. Like, the paranormal activity that he experienced was back in 2001.
Yeah.
And then I think the show came out in 2006 or 2007. And then we did a show about it in 2017. And I think that, I don't remember when it was that you ran into him, but it was probably
That
right
was probably 2016, probably 15.
Something like that.
But he said he's going to leave ghosts alone. He said if he leaves the ghosts alone, they'll leave him alone.
Yeah, because they kind of went into that a little bit on this show, that he was just getting very shouty with the ghosts, and all the paranormal people were telling him to knock that off because it was just making it worse.
Yeah.
Because he was getting really frustrated.
He's a bat boy. He's from, you know, a bat boy is what we called a guy from the Ranger Battalion. I don't think he's not tabbed. He was just enlisted. And under the command of the Rangers, and you know, they're part of the bat, and they're hard on them. They're good though. They're good dudes. And he has fucking Army Ranger assault infantry fucking attitude. He's mean. well, not mean, just any threat, he's going to respond to with hostility, and he's going to attack. Everything's a counterattack, you know. So I've been in this situation, something similar to this when I was a kid. I can imagine coming out of a Ranger battalion how you'd react to something paranormal. Yeah, you know. Well, you know, fucking went into the bad house after the 101st, but Ranger's even more intense. But I had experience when I went into, later on when I got out of the Army and went into that bad house. But nothing ever really happened there. But he was actually seeing shit happening in this one. So yeah, I could imagine him fucking getting pissed, trying to fight something that's invisible. Well, that's what he's talking about.
Pissed, yeah.
Says you couldn't shoot it, you couldn't grab it, you couldn't fight it. He said it was a threat to his family. It was driving him fucking crazy because he felt impotent in the face of it. He didn't like that feeling. I totally understand it. So he just got more and more hostile. And it may have been feeding off of him or just tripping.
Well, that's kind of what the paranormal investigator said. It's like, you need to quit doing that because...
Yeah, but he saw it. He saw the dude. It was just a dude who was fucking smoking a cigar in wet clothes. He was drenched. He could smell that cigar smoke. He saw him. Dude looked right at him. And then it startled him, and he took his eyes off him for a second. And then when he looked back, he was gone. Yeah, we'll get into it. And he kept seeing something up on the roof. He heard him walking up on the roof and went out there and looked. And so I asked him, I said, what exactly did you see? He just said it was just a dark mass, like a cloud, like a shape. Says it wasn't even really human-like. It was just a shape, like a cloud. Said he couldn't really see it because it was on a black background and it was dark outside. But he saw a moving, amorphous shape. That's it. That's the only way he could describe it.
Mr. 88 says, I don't use Facebook or Instagram. Do you have a website I can send a message to? You can go to the 13 o'clock podcast, website blog thing, which I think is just, what is it? 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com or something like that. And I think there's a thing on there where you can send a message, and that'll come to my email. So that works too. But, you know, if you just do a search for 13 o'clock podcast, the website should come up. And there should be a message thing on there, because I have gotten messages through there before.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly what Ed saw. I just know he saw something. I'm going to take him at his word. He said it was a ghost.
Well, his wife saw some shit, too.
Yeah.
Saw some apparitions and whatnot. So, and the son did, too, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into that. So, this is actually one of our favorite episodes. Like I said, it kind of became one of our favorite episodes, too, after... You know, after Tom ran into Ed Dunham, which is so random.
Well, it was one of my favorite episodes before I ran into him.
It's a good episode too, because it's it's in Deltona, which is only maybe 20 miles from where I grew up.
Yeah.
And so I was real familiar with the area, you know what I mean? So it was kind of neat to see one that was set somewhere where I knew where it was.
I also contacted Dusty, the girl that ran the paranormal.
Yeah.
She was a psychic that ran the paranormal ghost hunting team, and that's really all it was.
And that was in Daytona. That's where I'm from.
It was just a local ghost hunting club in Daytona. Really, that's all it was.
Yeah.
But I talked to her briefly. This is before I was on this podcast, and it was before the book came out. I don't think I even knew Jenny when I was talking to them. I think I knew her, but we weren't an item. And I didn't really have a reputation or a name, so she really didn't want to talk to me too much. It was on Facebook I was talking to her. She didn't really want to get into any details. So I wanted to ask her, where's the videotape?
Because there is kind of a videotape.
Yeah,
and we'll get into that thing.
Now, she seemed just kind of basic. Like she knew, she had basic understanding of paranormal stuff like you'd read it out of a book. And she did have some experience, evidently, according to her. So I can't really say anything one way or another. I'm not a big, I'm not a big believer in having psychics on board with a paranormal investigation. I think they muddy the water more than anything else.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great idea.
I don't think it's a great idea. I think it's better to have a parapsychologist or some kind of investigator, somebody who's neutral.
Yeah.
That's the best way to go. But, She evidently helped Ed out, so I'll give her that. Evidently. We'll see, though. I don't know. Because there's this tape, there's this claim of this tape and a threat to the child, which I'm not sure was fully substantiated because she didn't show the fucking videotape to anybody.
I mean, they and they never show, like, the real shit on a haunting, which is just their... I don't know. I guess they just established that as protocol because they're like, well, in all, in, you know, we don't have evidence in all the cases, so let's just, like, not show anything. So, I get it, but it is kind of like...
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. Ed probably would have went, let me see that tape. Let me see that tape, goddamn.
Well, yeah, you'd think that he would have wanted to see it because, I mean, if shit went down the way it went down on the show where, like, it was a kind of a freak out where it's like, holy shit, I think this, like, whatever it is after your baby.
Yeah. She evidently said, no, you don't want to see it.
That's what, really?
That's what I think. That's far, okay. That's what's coming to mind, that she that it wasn't good to show it, that he didn't want to see it.
I guess I understand that, like I said. But yeah, so...
But there could have been nothing to it.
Well, like, that's another thing.
It's not, like, saying that there's none to the case, there just may have been nothing to the videotape.
Right, you know? Right. All right, so A Haunting in Florida. This was from Season 2, Episode 10. Like I said, I think this came out... first aired 2006, 2007, something like that. And we first covered it back in 2017, but we wanted to kind of revisit it because this is a good episode. So yeah, so the guy at the center of this, his family anyway, is Ed, 2Ds, Dunham, and his then-wife, Beth. Like I said, they're not together anymore, but, you know, obviously they were on the show. Now, at the time that this happened, it was, like, summer of 2001, and they had a baby daughter named Emily. She was pretty little. She looked like she was, like, toddler age. Now, Ed also had a 12-year-old son named Matt from a previous marriage who just comes and stays with them on weekends. So, in June of 2001, the Dunhams are looking for a bigger house, you know, because they just had a baby and, you know, I guess they're looking for more room. Now, Ed, as Tom mentioned, was a retired U.S. Army Ranger, and he now kind of works, he does, like, contracting, restoring houses, stuff like that.
He wasn't retired, they just called him that in the show. Oh, okay. He wasn't retired, he was just discharged. And maybe he got an injury, was medically retired, but he you know, he was too young to be retired. You know what I mean? Retired, he had served 20 years. So, he may have been medically retired.
Yeah.
If not, he was just discharged.
Right.
Like, I got medical retirement, you know. It does happen.
Yeah. Brian says, hi, Tom and Jenny. Long time no speak. Well, hey. Hi there. What's going on? So, apparently, in his kind of new career of restoring houses and whatnot, he had a friend who owned a bunch of properties and knew that the Dunhams were looking for a house. And he's like, oh, I've got this really good deal. Like, it's in a, you know, decent neighborhood. It's on a nice street. And it's, like, substantially, like, cheaper than the other houses in the area. So they go there to look at it. Now, initially they said, okay, well, the person that owned it or who had been living there left all the furniture and shit like that in there, which they thought was a little bit weird, but not that weird, because I guess the guy said to them, it's like, oh, well, the reason we're giving you such a good deal on it is because we want you to, like, pack up all the other person's stuff and, like, get rid of it. So they're like, okay, whatever. But then when they actually got there, it wasn't just a case of, oh, they left their furniture and their other shit there. They, like, there was, like, half-eaten food, like, left in there, like, spoiled milk in the refrigerator. Like, it looked like somebody just... took ran. Off yeah. like at, like took yeah. absolutely nothing with them.
Yeah, like they ran in the middle of a meal. That's what it right. looked like. They and tried to imply that.
Yeah, that's kind of what they implied. Which, like I said, it wouldn't be that weird if it was just furniture and shit like that, because a lot of people leave shit behind if they're just like, oh, fuck it, I'm moving across the country and I don't want to, like, have to lug all this shit with me. I'll just buy new shit. But yeah, the fact that there was just, like, half-eaten food left, they thought that was very strange.
Yeah, Ed's wife is like, what the hell is all this? And he goes, well, I guess when he meant pack it up, he meant pack, because he's getting paid to clean the place up,
right?
And to pack certain things up. I guess he goes, I guess that means cleaning this place up and getting, doing all this dude's dishes, too.
Yeah.
Because the dude never came back.
Dirty dishes all over the place. I'm like, yeah. Jesus Christ. I would have just thrown him out and started over, to be
honest. Yeah, that's probably what he did.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, it's not, you're not going to use them or anything. No. Gross. You're
not going to mix them in with your dishes.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you don't know where the fuck that's been.
Yeah.
He could have, like, wiped his ass on that. You don't know.
And listen to Jen.
You don't know what people get up to.
Only you would think of some shit like that.
I know, that's just how I do. Yeah. That's the first thing my mind went to. I don't know.
Yeah, he wiped his ass on.
That's somebody's fetish somewhere. Yeah. Wiping their ass on the dishes and then putting them back in the
fucking... Gee, you got a dirty mind.
You know, you've read some of my shit. You've read some of my fiction. Yeah. You know. But yeah. So, they're like, they got a really, really good deal on the house. They said, you know, it was kind of one of the nicest ones in the neighborhood. And it's like, it's not like a super, super fancy neighborhood or anything like that. But it was like a nice... working to middle class kind of neighborhood.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a little older neighborhood, but it's
yeah.
nice.
And the, like you said, the house that they have on the show is not the actual house, but it's on the same street as the actual house. I think they mentioned, didn't they mention on the show that it was Mason Street or May something like that? But I don't know if that's the real name of the, because I thought I heard that they said with the name, but I don't know if they gave the real name of it. But you found it.
I found it.
So
they were talking about it on Reddit.
Yeah,
I think it was Reddit or something like Reddit. A paranormal thread somewhere talked about that house in this episode, and somebody knew right where it was, gave the address and everything.
Yeah, because obviously other people live around there and would know where it was.
Right, and it's not the house that's shown. It says, I think I remember correctly, the house that's shown, it even shows the address, the numbers on the front of that house.
Yeah.
And it's about six houses up from that.
It's like a nice, just a one-story, like, brick house.
Yeah.
It's brick with white trim. I don't know what it looks like now, because it's been a long time. But, yeah. So, Deltona, if you don't know, is about halfway between Daytona Beach and Orlando.
Yeah, it's maybe a half hour from here, huh?
Yeah, probably about that. Probably about that. And it's weird, because I'm pretty sure on the show they said, oh, it was like, the biggest city in Volusia County. I'm like, is it? I find that hard to believe. I would have thought Daytona would have been bigger, but then I was thinking to myself, well, maybe not, because the Daytona Beach area is big, but Daytona Beach itself is comprised of a bunch of littler towns. You know, it's like you got Daytona Beach, you got Daytona Beach Shores, you got Ormond Beach, you got Holly Hill, you got Port Orange, you got, you know, so there's just like a bunch of other cities that are kind of all in the same area that maybe aren't, so I don't know, maybe that's what they consider that it's all, but I never thought of Deltona as that big, but I haven't been there for a long time, so I don't know. So yeah, so they clean the place up and they're like, well, you know, it's, we got a really good deal on it, so we're not going to worry too much about all this weird shit that they left here. So they settle in and everything seems fine. Like, everything is just very quiet and very comfortable, and Beth was like, yeah, it's a really nice place, you know what I mean? But then, a few days in, she's kind of out in the, they had kind of like a, what do you call it, like a, not a sun porch type of thing, but you know, the sun porch thing. And it looked like glass, and they didn't have any blinds or anything on it, so she was kind of out there messing around, and she just kept thinking that someone was watching her, like, from outside.
Yeah. Feelings of being watched.
Yeah, so that was, like, typical. The first... Camp Guy said Deltona is a great southern redneck name for a town. It is, isn't it? Yeah. I always thought it was very redneck.
Come on down here, Deltona.
Deltona.
Deltona. got all kinds of food. Grits.
They do.
Hush puppies. Hog jaws. Turnip greens.
Pickled pig's feet.
Yeah. And still in the jar.
Yep.
Still in the jar.
That's pretty much. I haven't been to Deltona
pickled
in a while,
eggs,
so.
Those fancy pickled eggs.
But Daytona's still pretty rednecky, so I'm assuming that Deltona is even more rednecky.
it's built up now. Those
it
areas.
Is, but there's still a lot of redneckiness. Because Daytona is built up a lot too, but it's still like kind of rednecky and trashy.
They started building a lot of new enclosed communities. They're real nice, high end houses because people are moving here. I mean, this place is fucking booming, and half of them are from New York. People that move here.
Brian says, Dragged Across Concrete should be available this week on Netflix. Oh, that's good, because okay. I've been wanting to see yeah. that, like, and we hadn't got around to it yet. So maybe we can, if they show it, like, we'll do Who a review of it. Brian did.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. So she kind of feels like somebody's watching her, but, you know, Ed, of course, is just kind of like, oh, you know, maybe it's nothing, or maybe there is somebody back there. I don't know. He's like, anyway, I'll put in some new locks and blinds and shit like that, and everything will be fine. Now, a few nights later, like, now this went, this is kind of one of those paranormal cases that went from like 0 to 60, like in 1 second. It wasn't just a thing where it's like, oh, we thought we heard like weird little noises and stuff, and that then it like builds up. It was basically went from, I felt like someone was watching me, to like full on apparition. You know what I mean? So like a few nights after they move in, Ed is sleeping and he gets woken up. He's smelling smoke. And, you know, as you would, he thinks the house is on fire. So he basically, like, yells at Beth, go get the baby, you know, I think there's a fire, I smell a fire. And then he goes down looking for where, like, what's burning, and he looks in one of the bedrooms, and he said, I saw a guy sitting on the bed, like, smoking yeah. a cigar.
Yeah. He gave me more details.
Yeah.
In the episode, he's blue. That's not what he said. He wasn't. He said he didn't look blue or anything. He didn't. He looked like just a regular living dude, and he was sopping wet like he had been rained on.
Yeah, they didn't show that in the episode, did they?
So he was sopping wet like he was rained on, and he was dressed kind of like a lumberjack. He had a flannel shirt on, and a flannel work shirt, and work pants and work boots. Like he'd been outside digging. What it looked like he'd been digging, and we walked in there and saw him, and he was. Mid-drag, pulling on a big old fucking cigar, and he said he could see his eyes looking over the top of that the red hots of that fucking cigar as he was taking a drag, and he said that the eyes were just fucking scary. He said the eyes were just real stunning, and it shocked him, and he turned away to call his wife or something, or he said, "You get out of here." That was one of the things that he said too, and then the dude was gone. He'd vanished. He'd somehow vanished in between. I don't remember the exact order of the things that he'd said, but he basically started barking at him. You know, get out of my house. But he wasn't there anymore.
Now, did he immediately? I don't know if he addressed this, but did he immediately know that it wasn't a person,
or no.
did he think it was?
Thought
a
it was
person?
A dude. Thought it was a dude.
Yeah,
he's like, where'd he go? You know, and right. he was looking for him. You know.
Yeah, because you wouldn't immediately jump to ghost unless he was, like, see-through.
He was just sitting there taking a drag off that cigar, and it was the cherry on it was lighting up. He could see his eyes, and his eyes were staring across him. He said it was just real fucking spooky. Like
I can imagine.
Yeah. Like he had just done something bad. So that's what he, I think if I remember correctly, that's what he said. That he had done, like, he was out digging and had done something bad, something like that.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he sees the
dude. So he looked real guilty.
Yeah. And so that's what he had smelled, was the cigar smoke. Now, by the time Beth gets there with the baby, she's like, so where's the fire? And he's like, dude, there was a guy. There was like a guy sitting right there. And she's like, there's not a guy there now, though. Yeah. But, and she was just, it was so funny because they interviewed the real lady, you know what I mean? And she was just kind of like not having it. Even though she saw apparitions too, like later on. But she was on the show being like, well, you know, there's no fire, so I'm going back to bed. Like, gotta fuck this shit.
Yeah, and I don't remember if his wife could smell the cigar or not, or if it was just Ed.
Yeah, she didn't. I mean, on the show, they didn't really show her. I mean, she was just reacting to him saying, like, I smell smoke, you know, get the baby out of here.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that it's false. It could be that Ed was selected to see that apparition by whatever force does it. And it may have not actually been there. It might have just been a mental imprint into his mind, like a message, you know, an image that he picked up. Military and police guys have a tendency to fucking see paranormal shit. I think it has to do with just being more primal, you know. It's something that animals can do. It was a message from the past, I think, you know, that something bad had happened to somebody in that area. He picked up on it. Just a memory from the past kind of deal. Like a 3D hologram in your mind.
Yeah, maybe so. They didn't. They did go a little bit into what maybe the history of the house was, but not like super into.
He just saw a man. That's not a fucking outlandish claim.
Right.
It was just a man, and that man looked like he had done something bad.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was.
And like you said, even though on the show they showed him looking like ghostly, like or they had him like painted blue or painted green or something like that, so he'd look like otherworldly.
Yeah.
But you said that Ed Dunham said he just looked like a dude, I asked like a living guy.
I said, did he look like did he look like they showed him in the episode? He's like, no, he looked like a regular guy. I thought it was a guy in the house.
Right.
But he was fucking scary.
Yeah.
You know, fucking Ed's a big dude, man. He's fucking big. Oh, about 6 feet probably. Meaty. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, ex-Ranger. Bad boy of 75th Infantry. You know what I mean? There has to be some kind of underlying fucking spiritual tone to a motherfucker to scare a dude like that. You know what I mean? And then he vanished. Which, of course, you're going to fucking flip the fuck out. Are you going crazy? Did you just see?
Right.
You know what I mean? Was that a ghost? Or did you just hallucinate? But he knew he saw it. He said he could smell that cigar smoke.
Yeah, well, he said like it woke him up.
Yeah,
that's what, because he thought the house was on fire.
Yeah, well, there's been other accounts of people having premonitions and visions, and they can feel or sense the vision coming, and that might have been another manifestation of it. He smells the smoke, and then he goes out and tries to see where it's coming from, and it builds up, and then he gets the message. He sees it. You know.
Yeah. So, shortly after this, Beth discovers that she is pregnant again. So, like I said, they have the baby, Emily, who looked like she was maybe about 1 or maybe like 18 months or something like that. It was kind of hard to tell. So, they're kind of worried that they're not going to be able to afford another kid, but they're still like pretty excited and happy about it, even though it was not planned, you know what I mean? But they were just kind of like, we'll figure it out. We'll see. We'll make it work. So Beth actually starts taking a lot of naps in the afternoon because, you know, you get pregnant, you get kind of tired and worn out. While Emily is down for naps, like, she takes a nap. So one afternoon, though, she wakes up in the bedroom and she also sees an apparition, but this time it's like an old lady, like in a... I guess she was, like, wearing a nightgown, like a nightdress type of situation. She said she was, like, standing in the bedroom door. And, like, she was just standing there looking at her. And, again, it did kind of seem like she just thought it was a person. Like, she didn't think it was a ghost immediately. Even though on the show they made it look, like, spooky like a ghost. But she thought it was a person. So she calls Ed at work. And she's like, there's somebody in the fucking house. So Ed, like, rushes home. But, of course, he doesn't see anybody. So Beth is like, it was this old lady, and she, like, describes what the woman looked like. And Ed is kind of bemused, and he said, that sounds kind of like my mom. Because I guess, like, his mom had died of cancer, like, at some point, like, earlier. And so he's kind of like, oh, neat, you know, like, maybe my mom is, like, watching over us or something like that. And Beth is just, like, not having it. She's like, if it was your mom, like, why the hell is she scaring the shit out of your pregnant wife? That's not cool. So she's like, I don't think it's your mom. But, you know, so there was that whole situation. So Beth doesn't really like being in the house anymore. So it seems like it's kind of like, especially after seeing the old lady, she's very, very unsettled. So she kind of just takes the baby out for a walk all the time because, you know, she doesn't like being in the house by herself because, you know, Ed's at work all day. So she has taken the baby out for a walk, and then she comes back into the house and she goes into the fridge, like, to get the baby, like, a drink or something. And then she looks up and sees all the cabinet doors in the kitchen are all open.
Yeah, that's poltergeist right there. That poltergeist is phenomenal.
And she's like, what the fuck? And then she hears the shower running down the hall. And I guess it was in the bathroom that's, like, attached to their bedroom. So at first, I mean, she's weirded out because of the cabinets. And at first she thinks, well, maybe Ed came home early and he's in the shower. But she goes in there. The bedroom door is closed, but the bathroom door is open. And she goes and calls to Ed. Like, she goes in the bathroom and the curtain's closed. And she can hear the water running. And she calls him and nobody answers. And then she whips the thing aside and there's nobody in there. Like, but the water stops, like, before she opens it. But it seemed like it was still on because it seemed like it had been on.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, dripping. But I don't know if that's what really happened or if she was just hearing it. Like, I don't know if it had really been on or not because she didn't see it on. So, yeah. So then she's like, well, shit. And then she realizes that she left Emily, like, in her stroller in the kitchen, like, all by herself because, she heard the shower and went off down the hall. And so she goes back into the kitchen, and all the cabinet doors are open again. So she's like, all right, fuck this shit. I'm just going to go out and sit out in the yard. So her and the baby, like, you know, when Ed comes home from work, he finds Beth and Emily, like, waiting outside, like, just sitting outside in the yard. And she's like, yeah, I'm not hanging out in that house, like, by myself, because all kind of freaky shit is happening in there today, and I'm not having it. So then, at this point, Ed starts his campaign of, like, yelling at the house and the apparitions therein.
This is your house. This is your house. You have the right to live in it. That type of shit.
Yeah, and she's like, well, and I was like, tell that to the fucking ghosts, then. It's like, they're the ones being weird in there. But yeah, he basically, like, yells at the house. He's like, you know, why don't you mess with me instead of my pregnant wife and all this other kind of stuff. So that night, they said that that Beth and Ed, like, argued a lot about what they were going to do about the ghosts. And Ed is basically like, I'll find a way to fix it. I'll find a way to, because, you know, it's just, he's that kind of guy. And also he tells Beth to lighten up. And I was like, that's probably not a good thing to say to her, like, after what happened. But, you know. And while they're both in there, like, in the kitchen, kind of arguing about what they're going to do about it, they both hear, like, a knocking sound, like, on the walls, like, in the kitchen. They did both say they heard that, right? They were both, like, standing there.
Yeah, and it was moving around, I think.
Yeah, like, well, and it, for a second, it seemed like Ed was almost, like, making light of it, because he went over there, and he's like, I'm going to knock back, like that. And then, like, it did it again, and she's like, please stop that. You know what I mean? You're just making it worse.
Yeah, this is poltergeist-type activity.
Yeah.
They're known for that. Which, you know, is this haunting or poltergeist? Or is it poltergeist that can make apparitions, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wasn't there.
Neither was I.
Could be either. Usually ghosts don't move anything.
Yeah. So a few days after that, Ed's son, Matt, who's 12... he comes for the weekend. Like, he usually comes and stays with them every weekend, I guess. The rest of the time he lives with his mom. So he's in the, I guess he's sleeping on the couch, like, in the back sunroom type thing. And he's watching TV, and I guess the way they portrayed it on the show, like, he heard breathing, or he heard somebody, like, calling his name, like, whispering his name, like a man's voice or something like that. And Matt said that he could kind of feel the tension in the house because, you know, Beth and Ed were fighting a lot because of they didn't know what they were going to do about the ghosts, and there was, like, a lot of, you know, stress in the house, obviously. Now, Ed actually doesn't want to, because Matt was like, hey, I thought I heard somebody calling me, and it was, like, really weird, and he was creeped out. But Ed was like, no, you didn't hear anything, or you didn't see anything. Like, he was trying to, like, make him deny it. And Beth is like, yeah, but, you know, she was trying to ask the kid, like, what he saw or what he heard. But Ed doesn't want to, like, involve the kids. But Beth is like, well, you know, maybe we should get rid of the ghosts, like, before we let Matt come over here if you don't want the kid. Because he's obviously heard something. You know what I mean? So they were kind of, like, fighting about that, too. But then later that night, like, Matt is watching TV and he hears something outside, it seemed like. And then, apparently he saw the same ghost guy that his dad saw earlier, like the cigar guy that was sitting on the bed. At least that's what they showed on the show, because they kind of showed him sitting on the couch, and then there was, like, a shadow of a man, and then they showed him, like, kind of looking over like that, like, oh, shit, and then, like, the guy, like, walked through the thing. So I'm guessing that he saw the same apparition. They did have the kid, well, he's not a kid anymore, he was grown up, but they had the adult kid on there talking, and he said he was petrified by that. So I'm assuming that he saw the same ghost, but he didn't tell anybody at the time, like, what he saw. He just, like, kept it to himself. So then, a few days after that, Ed and Beth are both woken up by hearing something. They said it sounded like something being dragged across the floor, like, in the other part of the house. So Ed goes around to look. He's like, it really sounded like somebody was in the house, but obviously doesn't see anybody, and starts yelling at the ghosts again, like, just get out, leave us alone, blah, blah, blah. And Beth tells him, like, knock it off. And at this point, Ed, again, he's just, like, a complete loss. He has no idea what to do. You know, as we've mentioned before, a lot of the dudes like this are kind of this personality type. They get really bent out of shape by paranormal stuff because, like I said, most of the problems that they have in life, they can just punch it or they can fix it or figure it out. And you can't do that with this. And so they're just like, I'm out of ideas. You know what I mean?
It's too elusive.
Right. And they don't really like that kind of, you know, the guys like that, they seem to things that are solid and they can easily figure out how to fix it. You know what I mean? And you can't fix that. So he doesn't know what to do. So he starts doing a bunch of research, and he finds the Daytona Beach Paranormal Research Group, I think is what they're called. I don't know if they're still around anymore.
Probably not. That was a web group.
This was a long time ago. Yeah. Oracle says punching ghosts doesn't help. It does not. It does not. Or kicking them or shooting them or anything. So he basically just posts a request on there for help. So Dusty Smith, who's the founder, who you said you had kind of talked to briefly online a while back.
Long time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
2010, maybe.
Yeah. She kind of reaches out to him. So they talk on the phone for a while, and he kind of tells her what's going on. And Dusty says, you know, she'll bring her team to come out and investigate and see what's going on. So two nights later, they show up, and they set up all the equipment and shit like that and start interviewing Ed and Beth while they're all taking, vase readings around the house and whatnot. Now, while they're doing the interviews, apparently the whole entire team heard this banging on the walls, Ed and Beth had heard before in the kitchen. So they were like, okay, well, that's pretty definitive there. And then I think they also said that the temperature, noticeably dropped, or there were, wild temperature fluctuations, were going around. And so there was all this banging, and the first thing they thought of was, oh, well, maybe it's the water heater. So they go in the garage, but Ed comes in, and he's like, it's not the water heater. I've already checked that, 100 times, because I thought the same thing as you, but that's not what it was. And they didn't get, an unusual reading around it anyway. But, yeah, so they heard, weird noises and stuff. So they go around and start checking out the spots in the house where people had seen apparitions, you know what I mean? Now, Dusty said that when she was standing, it seemed like she was standing in the hallway and, the ghost or whatever, yanked her head backward. It looked like he kind of, grabbed her hair and, yanked her head back. Something like that. And Dusty also tells Ed not to yell at the ghosts because he's making it worse. But, you know, she was like, I know you want to, but, you know, don't do that because they kind of feed off negative energy and whatnot. So they set up all the EVP recorders and, you know, all the temperature fluctuation stuff and everything. And so they're there for a while. I guess it seemed like they were just there, overnight or whatever. And they, so they had all the data and stuff. And then they're like, okay, well, we're going to go back to the office or whatever. And we're going to analyze all the data. And then we'll get back to you and see what we're going to do. So the next day, Dusty goes to the county records office and gets the property records for this house. And she discovers that this house has been sold multiple times, just in the past few years, always for much less than its market value, which might lead some people to believe that people were just leaving or abandoning it or selling it quick or whatever. Also kind of a thing about, Native American sacred land, yada, yada, that I feel like that's par for the course for all of these shows. And plus, I'm not sure, they were kind of a little bit vague on this, but she said she discovered that maybe a man and an old woman had died in the house, at separate times, you know what I mean? Which would account for both of the apparitions. But she didn't really say how she determined that.
Because she heard Ed describing a man and a woman.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So I don't really know, because they did keep it kind of vague. It's not like they were hey, this guy named, Mr. Whatever, did live here and he died in this house. That was documented. I'm not really sure. You know what I'm saying? And it's always kind of like that. They're always, really vague. But she said that she thought maybe, the man and the old woman had died in the house. Not at the same time, obviously, but, over the years. So she also listens to the EVP stuff that they recorded, and apparently Dusty is very alarmed because she can hear more than a dozen different, distinct voices. So I guess she feels like maybe she's a little bit out of her depth. So she contacts this medium that I guess she knew from before, but she lives in Pennsylvania, and her name is Kelly Weaver. And Kelly Weaver is one of those ones that, what is that called, where they can touch something and they get, impressions from,
Tech-o-
it's something like that. I can never remember the word.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's one of those, I guess. So she basically says, you know, send me a photo of the house, but don't tell me anything else about it, and I'll do a reading on the photo and see what I can get, you know what I mean? So when Kelly gets the pictures in the mail, she touches them and gets a real, real bad headache, which she said doesn't usually happen, and she was just kind of like, she said she really dreaded doing the reading because she knew that there was something, like, really fucked up and bad about this house, and she just didn't want to do it. So a few weeks later, Ed gets home from work again and finds Beth and Emily on the lawn again. Beth is just like, look, I'm sick of this fucking house. It's, like, it's fucking creepy in there all the time. And she's like, and I want to move. You know, she's like, I'm going to have a baby. I don't want to have a baby in this fucking house because it's, like, too stressful. So then they have another big argument because Ed's like, look, we can't afford it. You know, she's like, we were just fighting all the time now because, like, not only was she pregnant and then they also had, like, a little kid to look after, but then there was all this haunting shit going on and all this money problems and shit like that. So she's like, they were just basically fighting about everything. And they said that Emily, the kid, the baby, was also really cranky and that she wasn't sleeping. And so they thought maybe something was going on with that that had to do with the ghost stuff. Ed was just, she's like, he was just on a hair trigger all the time. Like, he was just constantly annoyed and he was just getting really nasty and irritable and everything. Like, and she said everything was setting him off. And Beth was just like, I just wanted to be left alone. And I was like, that poor woman. But yeah, she was like, she had a lot to put up with. I'm just saying. So then, Ed basically calls Dusty up and says, look, you know, we can't take it anymore. We need these ghosts out ASAP. Yeah. And he goes full Karen on the motherfucker. Yeah. Because he wanted, and he even said this, and Dusty said something about this too. But, and I think, she's like, I think a lot of people, they think they're going to call the paranormal group, and the paranormal group is going to come in there and be like, you know, and kick the ghosts out, and everything's going to be over. And she's like, and that's not usually how it works out. So the fact that, like, Ed would be, like, calling her up and, like, yelling at her, like, you know, come here and get these ghosts out of here, like, right now. And she's like, you know, I can't really do that. Ghosts kind of, like, do what they want. You know what I'm saying? But he was kind of getting upset about it. So, so apparently she's going to come out to the house because he called her at the office. And so she's on the way out there. And in the meantime, he evidently sees something, like, sees an apparition on the roof. Like, he goes outside and, like, sees a dark figure.
I thought they heard something walking on the ceiling.
Something like that. I don't think they showed that on the show. Okay. On the show, but you said that he told you that.
He said, from what I remember, he said he'd hear things walking across the rafters in the attic. There wasn't much of an attic there. And then sometimes he'd hear things walking across the roof. And he was getting sick of it. He never could catch it.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. It was a long time ago that I talked to him about it, though.
I mean, I remember you saying...
He ran out there and he saw it on the roof.
Yeah, because they showed that. They showed that.
Yeah. He couldn't quite make out what it was. It was just a black cloud on a black background at night on the roof.
Just running around on the roof. Because he had, like, a flashlight or something, but...
Yeah, you see, just... I don't know if he had a flashlight in real life.
But on the show.
On the show we did. He didn't mention anything about that from what I remember. He said he couldn't quite see it. He just saw something moving across. And he's going, hey, you get off there, you know, yelling at it. I see you. I see you.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
Yeah, he was just, he was getting a little, a little antsy.
Yeah.
A little crabby. But yeah, so while he's out there yelling at the ghost on the roof.
Yeah.
The ghost on the roof. Dusty pulls up in the car. And again, tells him, please don't do that. Like, don't yell at the ghost because, you know, you're just making everything a million times worse because they feed on negative energy and they probably get a kick out of, you know, out of antagonizing you. And apparently, I don't know if Dusty took a picture of whatever was on the roof or if Ed did, but they said the picture just had, it didn't show like a figure, but it just had a bunch of orbs, which, you know, are usually bullshit.
Usually bullshit, like, dust, yeah.
Dust or bugs or something like that. So I've never seen an orb picture.
Orbology.
Yeah, I'm not into that orb thing either. That's because there's too many other things that could be. It's not impressive. Like I said, if you want to impress me with a ghost picture, like, take a picture and then it has like a big fucking demon face or something like that and you didn't Photoshop that shit, then I'll be impressed. But not orbs. I'm like, yeah. It's a moth, okay? Just calm down. So, Dusty also says that Ed is probably, like, riling the ghosts up because they know that he can see them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they get a kick out of, like, trying to get a rise out of him. So Dusty comes in the house, and they're just like, okay, well, what the fuck are we going to do? And she's like, well, we could call a priest. And they're like, well, we, you know, they didn't seem like they were real religious, and so they don't belong to a church. And it's like, I don't think we'd be able to get a priest out here because we're not, you know, a member of any church or anything like that. And, you know, Ed is starting to get kind of aggressive because he's feeling like, you know, there's nothing that can be done about this. And Dusty's like, well, we could try to do a cleansing ourselves, like, in a couple of days. So, also, at this point, Beth says, I think something might be going on in Emily's room, like, in the nursery, because she hasn't been sleeping. Like, she's always waking up and crying, and she's always, like, really cranky, and it seems like she's not sleeping at all. So maybe there's something going on in there, too. So Dusty says, okay, well, I'm going to set up, like, a recorders in Emily's room so we can see if something's happening in there as well. And while they're doing that, it seems like, because Emily has already been put down to sleep for the night, and the baby starts crying, and then the bedroom door, like, starts rattling, and then Ed starts, like, freaking the fuck out, like, just running around the house yelling at the fucking ghost. He's just yelling at the ghost through this whole thing. You think you're in hell now? I'm just like, what are you gonna do exactly? What are you gonna do exactly?
Play psychological fucking warfare. Now that I'm hearing this case again after so much time, this is Poltergeist. This isn't Ghost. It's just consistent with Poltergeist. I'll get into it later, though, after you tell me.
Yeah, I'm almost done with the recap.
Yeah.
So then you can get into it.
Yeah.
So basically, because that happened, they're like, okay, well, we're moving the baby's crib into Ed and Beth's bedroom because they were, like, afraid to leave her by herself because, you know, the rattling and whatnot. At this point, Dusty was like, I really liked the Dunhams, and, it really bummed me out, like, to watch their family disintegrating, because they were just, like, losing it. Like, Ed was losing it, and it's like, you could tell that the baby wasn't sleeping, and, like, Beth was, like, super stressed out, and they just weren't dealing well with the whole situation, and she's like, and it really kind of broke my heart to see, because they seemed like nice people. So, a couple nights later, Dusty and the team come back to do the cleansing, and they do the sage and the holy water and yada yada, like, all of the stuff. And they even make they didn't make her, like, Beth actually wanted to do it, but she was going around with the sage, like, only positive energies and the blah blah blah, and you know what I mean. And then Dusty gives them, like, a Saint Michael prayer card and all that. Now Dusty goes to switch out the videotape in Emily's room, and they said everything was pretty calm after the cleansing, but then the next day, Dusty watches the tape that they recorded in Emily's room, like, in the nursery. And we don't know what was on the actual tape. What they showed on the show was that there was, like, a voice. She did say that there was a voice calling Emily's name, and she said it didn't sound like a man or a woman. Like, it sounded like a weird just voice, like, calling the baby's name. And that on the show, they kind of showed, like, the door to the nursery, like, opening by itself. And then there was, like, a shadow, like, across the thing. And maybe, like, a shadow, like, kind of leaning over the crib, you know, like, while the baby was in there. So that's apparently, I don't know if that's really what was on the tape, but that's what they showed on the show. Also in Pennsylvania, the medium, Kelly, who had the pictures, she was doing the reading at around the same time, and she said she was touching the photos, and the photos were, like, pulsating in her hand, and so much negative energy, she thought it was gonna explode, blah, blah, blah. So, you know what I mean? She never came down there to go to the place or anything like that, so that didn't, like, factor into it at all. So, yeah. So, I don't know. So Dusty sees what's on this tape and wigs out. She's like, okay, whatever it is that's in this house, like, the kid is in danger for sure. So she tries to call the family, but the phone is fucked up. Just like in the Amityville Horror, you know what I mean? Like, when she tries to call the priest and, like, the phone keeps going, and, like, you can't. So, yeah, it was like that. So she tries to call, but the phone's fucked. She's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go over there right now. And she's like, and then while she's going over there, like, Kelly calls her and says, holy shit, I was just doing the photo reading on the house, and it's like, they need to get out of there. There's all kind of, like, bad shit and, like, negative mojo about that house. And she's like, I'm on my way over there right now. I just saw, like, some horrible shit on a videotape, so we got to get them out of there. So Dusty races over the house and says, basically, you know, your baby is in danger. You know, what's on this tape is fucking horrifying. I don't know if she showed it to him or not. And it's like, you just need to get the fuck out of this house, like, right now. So they were like, okay, can do. And basically they just like packed their shit and left.
Hmm. Kind of like the way they found it. People just leave it.
That's, well, yeah, and I think that's kind of weird. It came full circle, you know what I mean? I think they showed, like, while they were packing up, didn't, like, the bed kind of go, like, move by itself, you know what I mean? And they're just like, yep, something. Okay, we're going.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they end up going to Beth's mom's house. Thank you, David June, popping in to send some love.
Thank you very much.
Your shirts should be arriving. I think I told you this already, but your shirts should be arriving on Wednesday because they picked them up this morning.
Yeah, they came out good.
And it was priority mail, so it should be there in a day or two. So thank you very much for that.
If there's any problem, get in contact with me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so they basically, like, run out the house, and they go to... I think they went to Beth's mom's house and, like, stayed there for a little while.
Yeah.
And Ed, he says they barely escaped. So I guess all kind of horrible shit was going on. So they moved to another town. They didn't say where they moved to, but they said it was, like, another nearby town. So I don't know if they moved to Daytona or to Sanford. Maybe it was Sanford, because that's where we saw him working, like, a few years later. And Beth ends up having a baby boy, and Emily, they were worried about Emily that she might have, like, seen some bad shit and, like, she'd be traumatized or whatever, but I guess she was, like, too young when it happened, because, like, she grew up a little bit and she didn't remember anything, so they were, like, happy about that. So then at the end, like, they interview Ed a little bit, and he says that he finally, after all this time, after all the yelling at the ghost that he did, he finally understands that he couldn't fight this thing. And I wrote down the quote that he said. He said, "I don't care how big or tough or mean you think you are, you're not going to win."
Yeah.
That's what he said.
It's not physical.
And I was like, well, that was a good insight that you had there.
It can get physical with you. You can't get physical with it. Dusty and their team, they came out with the ghost hypothesis. But if you look at this case in total, that's poltergeist. Think about it. You got kids in the house of the right age, a pregnant woman. You got a high-strung Army Ranger. They're under stress. They got money problems. Tension in the household. That's already the very basic template for poltergeist to happen. Then the phenomenon itself. Knocking. Dragging sounds. Footsteps up now near the roof and up near the ceilings.
Cabinets
opening.
Shower running.
Things opening and closing. What else did they see that actually moved? The bed moved.
That was pretty much it.
Right? That's very common poltergeist phenomenon. Now, apparitions are not that common in poltergeist. Neither are voices. But the ones that I saw eventually tried to speak. I ran from it when it tried to speak. Or you didn't want to hear what it had to say. It was trying to form words.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to hear anything.
Yeah, I didn't
want to
hear
that.
Nothing about that. I jumped up and ran. All right.
Nope.
Yeah, I noped the fuck out. Took the sleeping bag and everything, fucking slept on the damn floor at the foot of Lois's Red's bed.
I don't blame you, not one bit.
I don't want to hear that, what that thing is going to try to say. And we didn't see any apparitions in terms of humanoid apparitions, but we saw like little spherical distortion type things you weren't quite sure were there, and blue haze, like this blue haze that you could see it. Everybody could agree when it was there, but you really couldn't. You really weren't sure. Yeah, you're like, is that there? Yeah, it's there. You know what I mean? But it wasn't solid. It was some kind of energy field or something. So this is a poltergeist. Even if they saw something on the video, what they're saying is they saw a shadow and a door opening and a voice. That's consistent with poltergeist too.
I mean, maybe that's what was on the video too.
Maybe
that's what they showed in the reenactment.
Right.
I don't know what's.
I haven't seen how impressive the phenomenon was. I'd like to see it. You know, probably not impressive, or she was showed it. That's my hunch. Maybe nothing. But the rest of the phenomenon is consistent with poltergeist. And poltergeist is an artificially generated ghost by the subconscious mind of somebody in that house. And the family has to have the right synergy. It has to be a synergy of breakup, tension. And the poltergeist is projected into the world, moving objects, as kind of like a artificial threat to the family to get them to kind of bind together tighter in the face of a common threat. That's what its function is at a psychological level. That's Poltergeist, man. It's not a ghost.
Although it didn't really work that way in this case, because it seemed like they just started fracturing more than anything.
Yeah.
Well, but which I guess that happens to you.
But they did all leave together.
That's true.
So maybe that worked. And then even if you did like a little seance or a blessing or some shit like that, that might kind of pacify whoever's making the poltergeist. If they believed it worked, maybe it would work. But in general, things like that don't work. Exorcisms don't work. Because it's not a demon, so you can't cast it back out to hell. A kid's making it. In the original story that the Exorcist was based on, one of the guys helping, I think he was like an altar boy that was helping him, when he saw the phenomenon, he recognized it immediately as poltergeist. Not a demon, but a poltergeist. And evidently the church thought it was a poltergeist. Even in the movie, they said, this isn't a real demon.
Yeah.
The holy water burned it. That's not holy water. That was just regular tap water.
Well, that's one of the tricks they always do.
Yeah.
Well, I think even the church, as much as I shit on them for, like, you know, believing in demons in the first place, but they do have a very strict set of protocols. Because they usually do that holy water shtick. Like, yeah. We're going to say it's holy water, except not really. And one of the rules, too, is, like, don't they have to, like, be able to speak languages that they don't know how to speak or something like that? Like, they have a bunch of, like, rules that it has to be.
Yeah, if it's a demon, it would speak kind of languages that the kid doesn't know.
Right. Yeah, like, Latin, if the kid was speaking, like, Aramaic or something like that.
I think it's Latin. They want the kid to speak.
That there would be no way that the kid would know how to speak. Right. Then, yeah, that would obviously suggest something. But, you know. I'm just, well, this is interesting to me because it started out, if it is poltergeist and if it did happen the way that it was shown on the show, it didn't really follow the classic pattern. Usually you would get stuff like, you know, cabinet doors opening, shower running, knocking, stuff like that, like early on.
First thing they felt.
And then later.
First thing they said was a feeling of being watched.
Well, she did.
Yeah.
And then, like, but then a couple days later, like, he immediately saw an apparition. And then a couple days after that, she saw an apparition.
Yeah.
It was, and then they started hearing knocking.
It was out of order, but it's not impossible that it could be out of
order. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying I just thought it was interesting because it didn't follow the usual.
Usually poltergeist starts small and it works its way up.
Like scratching noises or thumping or something.
Right. Whoever's generating it has to master certain basic skills first and get the subconscious has to get the confidence to do it, you know? And it has to discover new tricks. Although, the one that I saw, I think it was running out of tricks. The last unique thing that it tried to do was to talk. Yeah. And it only tried it once.
And it didn't say anything. It just made a weird noise.
It was just garbled.
Yeah.
Sounded like it was underwater and talking backwards. Out of thin air. Couldn't make out what it was saying. It started off as blunk, blunk, like bubbles going through water. It went blur, 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 blur. Sounded like backward masking on a damn record. It's got my hair fucking stood up like that.
Well, yeah, that's a sound you really don't want to hear coming out of thin air.
Came out of thin air. About 5 feet off the ground and about 3 feet out from a corner in a room. And it was dark, so, you know.
Because that shit sounds freaky even if you know what it is. Even if it's like a record playing backward, it's still creepy sounding. And if it was just coming out of thin air,
I got up off that cot and fucking jumped out of the fucking sleeping bag and fucking grabbed the sleeping bag with me. Went out the fucking door.
Nope.
left Wesley's sleeping ass in there with it.
Well, he couldn't hear.
Yeah, and the night before it had thrown all the damn laundry on me from the dressers. From the dresser.
Poltergeist was such an asshole.
Yeah, throwing shit on me. Throwing clothes on me.
Yeah.
Clean clothes.
Ben made a good point, actually. People, children, subconsciously cause the phenomenon, but it is referenced by their cultural expectations. So if they've seen movies like Poltergeist, then the phenomenon will be similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do kind of feel like, and we've kind of talked about this before, that if, for example, the family is religious, then a lot of times a poltergeist, you know, outbreak will mirror
religious motif,
will mimic like a religious motif, like
yeah.
And the more you expect it to act a certain way, the more it acts like that.
Yeah.
Like, so if you expect it to be a ghost or a haunting, it'll start acting like that. Or
I remember hearing some weird-ass cases, reading them back in the 80s, stuff that happened in the 60s or the 70s, supposedly. And where some little boy's poltergeist was acting kind of demonic, but then once the kid got into a good mood, it would do things like, just from out of nowhere, just drop fucking hundreds of fucking rose petals just out of the sky. You know what I mean? They never saw where they came from. It's just people would be in the room, they'd see that they were already falling, little rose petals, and nobody knows where they came from.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, they would bring little gifts and stuff, try to make amends.
Better than the throwing rocks at you like it usually does.
dropping rose petals.
Because a lot of them like drop rocks on your fucking house, like jerks. David June said, got Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist on Audible last year. Really scary story. I find myself listening to it every few months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still remember when you first told me that story. I think you didn't want to tell me at first because you thought I wasn't going to believe you.
Got Lois and Red on the phone, though, fucking they're telling the same
story. I did believe you at first, but I was like, man, that is a crazy fucking story.
Yeah.
And,
That's why I'm fucking so weird, man. I grew up with that shit. Always looking over my shoulder. And then having fucking out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences and shit. And then, but think about it too much, it comes back. You know, last time, it's done a few things here, but it's just phenomenon, you know.
I haven't seen anything here.
Through the ring.
But you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through that little skull ring. I think that was all it's done.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that, but I wasn't home.
Yeah.
Or I was in the other room or something. Yeah.
I looked at that ring and my eyes were scattered across my eyes landed on it for a second. When I looked away, I saw out of the corner of my eye, it flip up and then flutter down and float down to the ground like a fucking leaf. And it's metal. Then it happened so fast. It'll happen. Jenny's seen me do it. It'll happen and I don't notice it until after it's gone. Like when it threw the remote. You know? You're kind of in a weird mental state where you're ignoring it. You're focused on something else.
Thank you very much, Dom the Bomb. Yeah, hi, Jenny and Tom. Sorry not been around as much of late, but have a drink on me.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome. I was thinking the other day that it's like, it did a bunch of shit at our house at Sanford, and I think we usually forget to bring this up, but remember how it opened that patio door that we never opened?
Yeah, I found it.
Even though the lock was still...
It was still locked.
The deadbolt was still out.
It was a two-part door.
It was wide open.
Yeah. It was wide open, and Beijing is sitting there just looking at it like, that's not right. And
We never opened that door.
Yeah, never opened that door.
I think we opened it one time, like, when we were moving in, like, to move something out onto, like, the grill or something out onto the porch. But other than that, we never opened it. And I got up to go to work, and it was, like, one of it was open, and the deadbolt was still engaged, and Beijing was just, like, sitting there looking out the door going, what the fuck? She was, like, looking at it like that.
Yeah, why is that open?
And I'm sitting there going, I don't know, sweetie. I don't know why it's like that.
And I don't think it had been open for very long.
Probably not. Thank you again, David June. Dom gives a drink, I offer a shooter. Man, we're going to be fucked up by the time this is over. But yeah, because I got my lemonade.
Yeah.
Lemonade and vodka. Anything else you would like to add to the Ed Dunham haunting in Florida case?
No, I think that's enough. That's it. I think I've pretty
much... You think that's enough?
Yeah, I think it was poltergeist.
Yeah, the more you talk about it, like I said, it did kind of seem like, oh, so many apparitions, but... I don't know. Some poltergeist cases did have that. And like I said, I had a whole chapter in my Unseen Handbook of ones that apparitions were involved. There was usually other shit going on too, but like some people did kind of see apparitions at some point.
This would have been a weak poltergeist in terms of physical phenomenon, but real strong in apparition. You know, that's kind of an unusual feature.
And the apparitions, both of them apparently said that they just looked like real people.
Yeah.
Like, because they saw different ones. Like, she saw an old lady, and he saw, like, that guy. And I guess the son saw the guy,
too. It may not take any energy to do that. It's just like a mind trick. You know what I mean? It puts that image in your mind, and you believe you saw it.
That would, Well, like you said, it'd be easier than, like, actually making...
Yeah, it probably doesn't make...
A hologram.
Yeah, it probably doesn't make a hologram. It just makes you have a hallucination that you saw it. Puts the image in your mind. so strong that, yeah, you did see it, but it wasn't there. If somebody else saw it, it wouldn't be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the wife didn't say she smelled the cigarette smoke, but he did. Or the cigar smoke, but he smelled it. That's part of the hallucination.
Yeah. Zach said, did y'all catch the Oscars last night? No, I forgot it was on. They were talking about it at work, and because there's a couple movies that were nominated or that one that I had wanted to see, but I haven't got around to it yet. I was actually watching last night we watched A Haunting. We watched this episode, and then I started watching on Netflix, what's it called? Sins of My Mother, that 3-episode true crime thing about that fucking crazy Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell case. I think weird. We talked about it. Well, I got one more to watch, but I'll watch that like after the show's over. But I think we talked, we didn't do a whole show about it, I don't think, but I think we did. Remember when we used to do like news segments like at the beginning of the show? And I think we did one about that because it was very much like in the news at the time.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see, because I kind of forgot like how that resolved itself. So I watched 2 of the episodes last night, so I'm going to watch one of them now. And so that is a fucking crazy-ass story. You can't make that shit up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so thank you, everybody, for dropping by, and thanks for super chats this evening. We'll be back on Wednesday, and actually Wednesday should be a really fun show because the topic that won is televangelist scandals.
Okay. All right.
So... Yeah, yeah. We're going to be talking about, I have to pick which ones I want to, so we'll talk about Jim and Tammy Faye, we'll talk about, maybe Ted Haggard, maybe Jimmy Swaggart, you know, I don't know, we'll figure out what the most interesting ones are, but yeah, so that should be a fun show, because that's always kind of fun to, like, make fun of. Who's that other, that Kenneth Copeland? We got to talk about Kenneth Copeland, because that guy is a fucking... That guy
he's
is a
nutcase.
He's a fucking lunatic. I was watching a video...
He'll songify him and shit.
Well, I was watching, like, a little video about him on my lunch hour day, like, on my phone, and I was like, oh my god, this dude is, like, fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the facial expressions he makes and stuff, like, oh my god.
It's like he's tripping on acid.
I don't know what his problem is.
He's crazy.
But, I mean, it's something. So, yeah, we definitely have to talk about that motherfucker, too, because holy shit, that dude's insane. I can't believe he's for real, you know what I'm saying? But yeah,
imagine having sex with that dude.
Oh. Thanks, Tom. You just killed my sex drive forever.
Imagine having sex.
Why did you do that?
Because that's the least sexiest motherfucker I've ever thought of.
Why did you do that?
Imagine you got paid. You're the prostitute. You're getting paid. You have.
I'd be like, not
right
for
you.
Any price. No. I mean, I don't think you could pay. I don't think you could pay me enough.
Ken Copeland.
I don't even think you could pay me enough to like touch that dude.
The motherfucker's crazy.
Much less. I mean,
he looks like Alfred E. Newman and shit.
I don't know what the fuck his problem is. He doesn't. Like I said, he looks like he's like not even a real person. I can't even.
Looks like Alfred E. Newman crossbred with Yoda.
It's, I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah,
or that fucking ventriloquist dummy from Magic.
Oh yeah, Fats.
Fats.
Right,
I gotta go.
All right. He's gotta go. I gotta go. All right. So yeah, be sure to tune in on Wednesday night. We're gonna have a good time making fun of televangelists and talking about all those fucking scandals, most really from the '80s, but we might talk about like some newer ones too. So hopefully you can all drop by for that. So thanks for coming by and hanging out with us this evening, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday. Good night.